This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Swing, and that ball lifted into the air, right field. Gallo racing in. He dives and makes the catch, rolls over, holds on to the ball. What a way to end this game and this series against the Twins.
What is going on with this baseball team? Sean and RJ on your home of Rangers baseball. That was the call yesterday afternoon. If it's late innings, they're invincible against Minnesota. Basically invincible on the season. They win 4-3 in 10 innings. Their third straight W. They've won 5 of 6. They are in fourth in the West, but it's all jumbled up, and they could easily be in second after this series against the Seattle Mariners starting tonight right here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's bring in Rangers insider Jared Sandler here on Sean and RJ. How much has this team surprised you so far this year, being one game under 500 right now?
Yeah, I mean, definitely have. And I think, you know, the biggest surprise is the way the pitching staff has operated. I'm not surprised that they're not, like, blowing people out of the batter's box, striking out, you know, like, a batter and a half per inning, because that's not what they're doing. What I am surprised is that they're not walking guys, especially the relievers. And if you would have told me that the Rangers would be without Jonathan Hernandez, Jose Leclerc, and Matt Busch, and have spent, you know, a chunk of time without Brett Martin and Joely Rodriguez, yet their bullpen would be leading the majors in walk percentage. And also there's a stat called expected fielding independent pitching, which is one of these advanced stats that front offices really look at it, which is why I bring it up. But it's one of these advanced stats that's supposed to take what you've done and also kind of neutralize some of the variables that could lead to small sample size successes or failures. The Rangers have the fourth best bullpen ERA in that particular department, or FIP. And so this has been a really good unit, and a unit that's been beat up. So I'm most surprised about that. And then all, you know, every year there's always surprises, like an Adolis Garcia that you just can't predict, and you know, guys that are performing in certain ways, and Adolis certainly fits that category for the Rangers.
Usually you wait around 30 games or so before you kind of make any judgments. You know, now this team is, I mean, they are, like you said, like they're right there. They're right at about 500. Is this a sustainable start for them?
Well, here's my concern, RJ. The Rangers starting pitching has been pretty good. But this past Wednesday was the first time they had to go beyond their five starters when Hyunjin Yang pitched. I'm curious to see how they do when they get tested from a depth standpoint. Is it sustainable that they're, like, you know, kind of on this current pace? I think right now they'd be on pace to win, what, it's like 75, 77 games, something like that? Sure, yeah. If you told me at the end of the year that's what was, you know, going to be the final record, I guess I'd say, all right, you know, great year for the Rangers. I still think that, you know, over a large sample, these things even out and you kind of figure out who you are. The one thing I'd say is, you know, a lot of fans are now asking, well, why would the Rangers sell, or why are they not going to be prepared to buy? It was around this time last year, maybe a week's worth of games earlier, where the Rangers had just come off, I think it was like a great series against the Angels, and they were, I want to say, in first place of the West, or, you know, definitely in a playoff position, in a wild card spot. And then, you know, last year they end up with the second worst record in baseball. So these things can turn really quickly. You know, just as easily as you're able to win 4 out of 5, you can go and lose 7 out of 8. And so, is it sustainable? It could be, but I'm not yet ready to say, hey, this team's going to be right in the mix of the playoff picture here in a couple of months.
Look, I'm just thinking about trade bait. I don't want to hear anyone say anything about buying anything at all. Zero, nothing, nada. Trade bait. Is it too early to be looking at the, you know, trade? Not market, that's too early, but the value of Kyle Gibson. Where are we going to stand with Joey Gallo with the power outage right now? What do you think about possible trade options who are upping their value on this team?
Well, Sean, I'm going to do my per appearance Mike Fisher impersonation here for you. Sean, you know, on Rangers Extra Innings all year, and I know you listen to Rangers Extra Innings because, you know, it's the greatest show in the world. You know, we've been saying this for months, you know, because this is what we do, and we say it, and you listen to me because I'm Mike Fisher. So we've been saying, love you, Fish. I think that whenever Kyle Gibson pitches well, or Ian Kennedy, or Joey Gallo, yeah, I mean, I think that that's a very fair and realistic way to look at it, because that's kind of what the goal of this season is. It's to get better for the future, and that comes in, you know, young guys developing. It also comes in guys helping to add assets to the organization. And, you know, we get a lot of feedback like, gosh, like, you know, why are we always talking about trading our guys, and why isn't it acquiring guys? And, well, that's a fair question, but that's where you want to be. You want to get to the point where you're now the team getting the Joey Gallo or the Kyle Gibson or the Ian Kennedy, but that's just not where the Rangers are right now. They're in a position where they're trying to acquire talent, and Ian Kennedy's a free agent after this year. So absolutely, you know, he's probably not going to be a Ranger after the trade deadline. Kyle Gibson might be. I think they have the most interesting decision with Kyle Gibson with the expanded playoffs next year. If they feel like there's a need to keep his veteran presence in the rotation and still have some stability there, because it is important to have some rotational stability. And if they're not getting the types of offers that, you know, they feel would be worth moving him, then maybe they just hold on to him. But Joey Gallo, it's, you know, you're not hamstrung like, hey, we just got to sell him to the highest bidder. But it seems like this year and you know, between now and the trade deadline, is the best time to capitalize on Joey Gallo's value, if in fact that's the direction you're going to go. So I think a lot of this is viewed through that lens, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because that's just the position the Rangers are in. And while we'd all love to be, like I said, buyers and one of these teams that are contending for a playoff spot or a World Series, a lot of those teams were in this position, and they had to go through this period to get to where they are right now.
Jared Sandler, Rangers insider here on The Fan, after they just did work in Minnesota against the Twins. They'll take on the Mariners tonight on this radio station. What do you make of Joey's start? 226, 4 home runs. He had the awesome streak of getting on base to start the year. What do you make of Joey and the numbers across the board?
So I think he's starting to turn things around from like a power standpoint. I was looking at some numbers after yesterday's game, comparing his last 10 games to the first 20 or so games, you know, all sorts of numbers that I'm not going to, you know, bore you with. But essentially, he's starting to find the barrel of the bat a little more frequently and a little closer to what his typical numbers are here over the last 10 games or so. And, you know, he had 2 home runs this series, should have been 3, had another extra base hit. You know, he's starting to drive the ball as opposed to just being a ground ball hitter, which is what he was the first few weeks. I think on one hand, you ask certain people and they'd say, hey, all that April was essentially was Joey Gallo slumping. But instead of, whereas in years past, Joey Gallo slumping, sitting like 120 and just not getting on base and striking out 3 times a game, Joey Gallo in 2021 slumping perhaps looks like a guy who's getting on base 40% of the time because of his patience and his discipline. He's just not hitting for power, but he's even hitting for like a somewhat decent average for Joey Gallo's standards, you know, hitting around 220, 230, which, by the way, like a 235 average is kind of league average this year so far. So, I'm hopeful that that's what it is. You know, defensively, he's still obviously really good. You played the clip there from Hixey, Joey ending the game with a gold glove caliber play. So I think that the plate discipline is just as good as it's ever been, if not slightly better. The key for me with Joey is fastball damage. You know, he's never going to be a guy who's a high contact in zone guy. What I mean by that is, you know, he's a guy who will swing and miss a lot on pitches in the zone. A lot of bigger limb, bigger bodied guys, you know, who swing hard are like that. Aaron Judge is like that. He can get better at it. There's definitely room for improvement. But the difference between the Joey Gallo of this year and the Joey Gallo, say, in 2019, from a power standpoint, is simply, you know, what he's done against the fastball. And he's now finally starting to drive fastballs again, whereas fastballs of all velocities were kicking his butt in April, and he was hitting ground balls, and some of them got through for hits, but he wasn't lifting the fastball and doing damage with it from an extra base hit standpoint.
Jared, I want to ask you about this go around baseball for a sec, because, you know, I cannot remember a time where the umpiring has been worse. There's been, I mean, butchered calls in with Andrew McCutchen out of the baseline, the Brewers pitcher obstruction, you know, Reese Hoskins. I mean, anytime Angel Hernandez umpires, it's a disaster. First of all, how does he have a job? But, you know, can you remember a worse string of umpiring than what we've had the first month of the season?
I can't. I don't want to play the, what have you done for me lately, and just assume that there hasn't been a bad stretch in the past, because I'm sure there has. But it definitely has been amplified with, some of the replay stuff. Here's my take on it. As long as you have humans officiating any sport, it's not going to be perfect. And, in the NBA, for instance, I don't know that you can get technology in there to improve referees. I'm not sure, you know, beyond replay. But in baseball, you can with the strike zone. And I think they're definitely working towards that. Whether people like it or not, it's going in that direction. And then with replay, I do think there are ways to improve replay. It's never going to be perfect. And, you know, what I would say is there are more calls that are made correctly because of replay than without, even if replay itself is not perfect. And so I don't think the question is, should we have replay or not? I know some people don't like replay because maybe replay screws up every once in a while, or the proper outcome is not the actual outcome. But to me, it's better than without replay. I just think that you need to get umpires out of the replay command center. I think you need to get, and I don't know if the umpires union will ever allow this, but to me, I do think there is a little bit of bias, and I understand it. I mean, listen, Sean and RJ, if you guys were officiating and I was too, I'm going to get your back. You know, whether I do it consciously or not, I love you guys. I want to support you guys. We're all in it together. So when you screw up, if it's a 50-50 call, I'm going to side with you, because I don't want you to look bad. And I just think that if you get an independent group of arbiters who are not umpires, never have been, don't know the umpires, but are experts on the rules and are able to adjudicate a play based on a replay, then you don't have that same level of loyalty. And I just think that you're going to get maybe better results. There's no way. I wish that there was a way that the people in the replay command center didn't know what the call on the field is, but there's just no possible way to make that consistently happen. Because if you're looking at a play at the plate, you're going to sometimes see the umpire on replay issue the safe or the out call. So it's not possible to do that. But I do wish that there was a way to, I guess I've never understood, guys, why we have to have conclusive evidence to overturn the call on the field. Why can't the person looking at the replay just make what they feel like is the best call? But obviously, if you know what the call on the field is, that is going to influence, you know, your thought process. So, perhaps that's a moot point.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.